From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. The summer movie season is over, and the results are in. Box office figures were up slightly, but only because of rising ticket prices. Movie attendance was actually down. Still, there have been some bright spots, among them Shrek 2, which is now the third highest moneymaker in U.S. history, and Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. It topped the $100 million mark, quintupling the previous record for a documentary. Well, now comes the fall movie season with 135 new pictures, and our movie critic Bob Mondello has a selective preview.
There will be all kinds of movies in the next 3 months, but the one genre you won't be able to escape is the movie biography. It comes in various shapes and sizes, none bigger than the Oliver Stone Sword and Sandals epic Alexander, which features an ancient Greek leader who sounds like a self-help guru.
Conquer your fear! And I promise you'll conquer death!
Colin Farrell plays Alexander, leading a parade of stars impersonating famous historical figures. Liam Neeson is sex researcher Alfred Kinsey in a film named Kinsey. Gael Garcia Bernal is a young Che Guevara in Motorcycle Diaries. And Jamie Foxx is the blind musician who revolutionized both the sound and the business of rhythm and blues in Ray.
The innovator of soul, Ray Charles!
I'm through with the romance.
We're giving you a state-of-the-art deal here.
Since I'm producing my own records, I was wondering if I could own my masters, too.
Ray, we've never done that before.
That's a better deal than Sinatra gets.
Yeah!
Jamie Foxx went to college on a piano scholarship, so he was able to master Ray Charles's technique rather than faking it in Ray. And in another pop music biography called Beyond the Sea, Kevin Spacey will prove he can croon just like Bobby Darin. Meanwhile, Johnny Depp has mastered a Scottish accent to play an eccentric who in the early 1900s bonded with a whole brood of youngsters, one of whom was named Peter.
Excuse me, sir. You're standing on my sleeve.
I might point out you're lying under my bench.
Do you mind just playing with your dog?
No, go on.
So sorry, my boy's bothering you.
J.M. Barrie, pleased to meet you.
J.M. Barrie, the author?
The author of Peter Pan and the central figure in the film Finding Neverland, a smartly scripted biography aimed at adults but filled with a childish sense of wonder. There will also be a raft of animated films aimed at children and filled with a childishness that's a bit more raucous. A SpongeBob SquarePants movie, for instance, and a suburban superhero saga called The Incredible.
No matter how many times you save the world, it always manages to get back in jeopardy again.
I feel like the maid. I just cleaned up this mess. Keep it clean for 10 minutes.
The Incredibles is a computer-generated fantasy from Pixar, the folks who made Finding Nemo, and it's biggest competition for the kiddie set comes from the folks who made Shrek. They've concocted an underwater mafia story called Shark Tale.
Does this mean you're now protector of the reef, the big kahuna?
Kid, you're a superstar. We're gonna make a fortune. Just let me handle it.
What a team, baby!
High fin! Low fin!
I want to know everything about him. Who is the shark slayer?
Yes, you heard right. That's Robert De Niro playing a mob boss with fins. For another film, Tom Hanks had his face and body covered with reflective dots so that he could be digitized by a technology called performance capture. This allows him to play 5 different characters in a much beloved children's story, including a little boy and a train conductor.
Well, you coming?
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course. This is the Polar Express!
Where Hanks was filmed on a bare soundstage with the intention of making him look artificial, Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow did the same thing for the opposite reason in Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. Sky Captain is a retro-looking, futuristic fantasy created inside the computer, and the live actors are there mostly to make the backgrounds look real.
What have you got me into this time?
Nothing you can't handle, Frankie.
Earth will be incinerated.
Enemy warships closing fast.
Can't hold them off any longer.
They've broken through the perimeter.
Send reinforcements. Send everything you got.
They're everywhere.
Retro isn't the only look for science fiction this fall. There's also an R-rated puppet extravaganza from the makers of South Park. They've been telling interviewers that they made Team America World Police so they could kill a lot of wooden puppets while mocking the kind of dumb action pictures that Jerry Bruckheimer makes.
Hey, terrorists! Terrorize this!
coming out just after Team America, will be an actual dumb action picture from Jerry Bruckheimer, in which Nicolas Cage steals the Declaration of Independence because a treasure map is on the back. Does all this sound too idiotic for words? Well, happily, some directors will be dealing with reality. Britain's Mike Lee, for instance, has made a working-class drama called Vera Drake about a London abortionist in the 1950s. Spain's Pedro Almodóvar has made Bad Education, a terrific film within a film noir inspired by his own unhappy experience in Catholic schools. But while fall is usually a time when most of Hollywood turns serious, the emphasis this year is definitely on comedy, even in remakes like the one in which Jude Law plays the role that made Michael Caine a star in the 1960s, The Ultimate Swinging Single.
Oh, blimey, I'm so rude. I haven't introduced myself. I'm
Alfie.
I'm a blessed man.
Also being remade are the Argentine thriller Nine Queens, now called Criminal, and the Japanese romantic comedy Shall We Dance, which keeps its title but substitutes Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez for its original stars.
Have you ever danced before?
No, but I'm a fast learner. There's a friend. When we go forward.
Other comedies of note, Shaun of the Dead, about a British guy named Shaun who's too preoccupied to notice that the blankly staring folks in his favorite pub are no longer among the living. Stage Beauty, about an English actor in the 17th century who only plays women's roles and who is therefore at a loss when the king allows women to play women. And the contemporary comedy I Heart Huckabees, about existential detectives who help clients answer the big questions by asking them big questions.
Have you ever transcended space and time?
Time, not space. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Nor does anyone else, apparently, but that's supposed to be part of the fun. Everyone knows what John Sayles is talking about in his new satire, Silver City. It features a dim, inarticulate candidate for public office, whose father is a powerful politician, whose backers are greedy corporate types, and whose twang may strike some listeners as familiar.
We have to get our priorities straight. Education is a priority. Our economy, keeping the infrastructure in place where it belongs, that's a priority.
What isn't a priority, sir?
If you're going to have a front burner, which is where you want your priorities, there needs to be something sitting on the back one. It's like cooking.
Sayles wanted to finish Silver City in time for Election Day, and he'll beat that deadline by about 6 weeks. And let's stop there before we get to the holiday Oscar rush and the inevitable parade of sequels, from Meet the Fockers, which picks up where Meet the Parents left off, to Ocean's 12. Can you wait? I'm Bob Mondello.